This is the Evil Never Dies podcast with Brett and Carl. This podcast may contain adult themes, violence, and strong language. Listener discretion is advised.
The Evil Never Dies podcast.
Welcome back to the Evil Never Dies podcast, episode, I think it's 224, I think. So, I would say, what's up, Carl, but Carl's not here tonight.
No, he's not.
I'm joined by our good buddy from Monsters in the Mosh Pit, Mr. Bazzelli. What's going on, Greg?
Hey, what is up, my evil ones? I'm happy to be filling in for Carl, but I'm sad to see he's not here.
Yeah, Carl needs a break, so Greg was nice enough to come on and fill in for him this evening. So, and I asked him to do this, and I says, well, let's do an album. Pick an album. So
yeah, nothing like throwing, hey, you want to come on the show? Sure. Go ahead and pick the topic. Oh, shit. Okay.
Well, you gave me five.
Yeah, I think the text message said, I'm gonna give you three albums to choose from. And then I was like, just kept typing. I'm like, well, okay, it turned out to be five. Sorry.
But, yeah, anyway, one of them I had already done, which is Machine Head Unto the Locust. And what was the other three?
I know one was okay, let me pull it up because I know one was Ginger, but I don't remember which album I had sent you for Ginger.
I think it was Wallflowers, maybe. Was it Wallflowers?
Maybe.
I don't know. I'd have to look at my message.
Oh, there it is. Okay. So it was, I said, Machine Head, Unto the Locust, Every Time I Dies, Radical, which is their last album, which is really, really good. Of Sulfur, The Burden of Faith, which I probably figured you didn't know who that was, and I figured that was okay. But they're really, really fun deathcore slash blackcore band. Okay. And then Ginger, King of Everything, which I love Tati and Ginger. So, and then what we're actually covering tonight, which is the God Resolution.
Yes, we are. Are you drinking tonight? I made me a drink, my usual.
Yeah, you're rocking the Milo's and some Absolute Lime, right?
Yeah, Milo's. Not many people know what Milo's is. Milo's.
Dude,
expensive too. It's like $5 a gallon, man.
Yeah, but it's delicious. That's why, you know, you could charge for it because it tastes that good.
Yes, it's the best lemonade ever, for sure.
But yes, yeah, so, of course, Brett, of course I'm drinking. That's kind of my thing. Well, not... Well, I mean, that sounds really bad, doesn't it? But I make drinks for shows. Let me put it that way. So I went ahead and made a drink for tonight in honor of the great Lamb of God album Resolution. I made the Citrus Ghost Walk for Ghost Walk. What's called the Citrus Ghost Walk? How about that? Sounds better. And that consisted of 1.5 ounces of each triple sec, Tanqueray lime gin, white Bacardi rum, some citrus vodka, and then I went ahead and filled that, the rest of the glass, with Sprite, which I use Sprite Zero. You can use whatever you want, as long as it's lemon lime soda because it tastes better with it. And then put a little bit of sweet lime juice over top of it. So call it the Citrus Ghost Walk because it's nice and clear. Kicks your ass, though. I'll tell you that much.
That sounds tasty, man.
It's good.
Looks like you need another one.
Yeah, it's almost empty. It's too tasty. Unfortunately, there's a lot of liquor, and so I got to pace myself.
All right. Well, I guess we'll get right into it here.
Okay.
This is their seventh studio album. And it was recorded February to May of 2011. And they did it at a few different studios here. Spin recording studios in New York City, Studio Barbarossa in Port Hayward, Virginia. That's in your neck of the woods there.
Yeah, it's probably like 6 hours away from us, because most places in Virginia seem to be, any of the good places at least. Sorry, Virginia listeners.
And then the New England School of Communications in Bangor, Maine. And I think they did a little, in one of their songs, they had some, what do you call it? Orchestration, what you might say.
Oh, okay. Some orchestral music.
Yeah. We'll get into that here when I go through the personnel or whatever.
Yeah, I know it's definitely listed as under other musicians. There was a couple on there, so.
All right. Genre is, of course, heavy metal, and some people might call it metalcore, thrash metal, maybe even groove metal. Lamb of God has a totally different sound than anybody else, I think.
Yeah, I mean, they definitely borrow from a lot of the subgenres,
but they made it their own.
Yeah, I mean, that's, you know, you think of, you know, I always laugh when people say Lamb of God. I always think of Randy, because he always goes back and he says, I can swear, right? Like, big time swear.
Well, fuck yeah, you can swear.
Okay, well, I didn't know. Like, I know sometimes you do the YouTube thing and it demonetizes and all that shit. So, but
Randy, we ain't never gonna make no money on YouTube.
Look, I try to be conscientious. But Randy always says, Richmond, motherfucking Virginia. So they have, that's what I think of when I think of this territory. I always think of Lamb of God. So it's definitely one of those things that they borrow from prog and groove and death, and there's even a little bit of grindcore in
and a little bit of southern twang, a little bit.
Big time southern influences on a lot of their albums.
For sure. All right, length of the album is 56 minutes, 21 seconds on the original version. And we'll get into that a little bit when we go through the songs. So, label Epic Roadrunner, produced by Josh Wilbur and Lamb of God. And let's go over the band members here while I'm thinking about it. First off, we got Randy Bly on vocals. And did you know he got his start actually singing as a goof, really?
No.
Somebody asked him if he could sound like the Cookie Monster or something.
Yeah. Awesome.
So, yeah, that's how he got his start singing heavy metal, I guess, because he sounded like the Cookie Monster.
You ever hear the Brian Posehn song, Metal by Numbers?
Yep.
Where
cookie,
he says,
cookie, cookie.
Exactly. Cookie Monster lyrics and yell like a Wookiee. Metal by Numbers.
Cookie, cookie, cookie. All right, next we got Mark Morton on lead guitar. Willie Adler on rhythm guitar. John Campbell on bass and Chris Adler on drums. And then here we're going to go with the additional musicians. Amanda Munton on vocals on the song King Me. And Brian Cook, the orchestration on King Me. Paul Suarez was the engineer. And UE Nastasia mastered the album, and it was mastered at Sterling Sound in New York City, where probably most every record ever recorded has been mastered there. For sure. Lots of people master their shit there.
Well, whatever they're doing it right, because this album sounds crisp. Like, it sounds really, really good. As far as the mastering goes, you can hear every element of it. I think we may have, was it you and I and Carl that had the conversation about remastering and stuff a
Yeah, that
couple
was
weeks
just
ago,
last
right?
week, brother.
So you definitely find this sometimes where like you just can't hear certain things in it. Some things are muddled, and this definitely you can hear everything. And it's crisp and it's clean. I love listening to stuff in my headphones, but I also love listening to it in a room with like the actual ambient sound. But I tell you what, I listened to this album just the past 2 days in my headphones pretty much the whole time, other than the last time I listened to it. I listened to it on my, I had like a little record player Bluetooth thing. And it even sounded good on that little record player Bluetooth thing. I was listening to it in this room while I was like prepping. But the on your stereo headphones, you can hear everything. And it's crisp. I really like that.
All right, cool. All right, let's excuse me. My scroller ain't scrolling here.
I thought you needed a moment to let that Milo's pop back.
This album did really good, man, in the charts for sure. Got up to number three on the Billboard Top 200, which is freaking amazing for a heavy metal album. And it just basically all the Billboard charts, it top rock albums, it was one, top tastemaker albums, it was one, hard rock albums and digital albums, knocked it out of the park. And it was even number one in the UK. But it didn't really sell too much, though.
Yeah, I think it has a lot to do with the time period that it came out in, though. When you think about what was happening with physical sales in this time period, as well as digital sales, physical sales were on the decline while digital sales were on the incline. But you had that lull in
Yeah.
both, where people were still trying to stream and streaming was just starting, but you were starting to get this mixture of everything happening. And unfortunately, even though this is a critically acclaimed album for a seventh studio album from a band to be this critically acclaimed is huge, especially a heavy metal band at that. But unfortunately, it was just a product of its time when it comes to the market. You know what I mean?
Exactly. But it did great everywhere. It just, I don't even think it went gold, did it?
I think it did. I think it ended up selling like, was it 365 units or something like that?
Was is gold 500,000?
I thought it was, maybe
Yeah,
I'm
gold's
thinking,
500,000.
oh, see, maybe I'm
A
thinking of
million is platinum, so.
I might have been thinking of the European numbers as far as the gold and platinum stuff. So maybe
Yeah,
that's it.
a lot of the smaller countries have lower amounts for sure. It did great everywhere, man. Long list of released countries. And I think the didn't do too good in France. 115.
That's French. France makes great genre movies. The French extreme movies.
I got a very good friend that's French, and he made an awesome metal album this year.
I think you told me about him last week, didn't you?
Yeah, you'll have to check him out for sure. That's a good fucking album, man. You'll like it if you. I think he added it to your
I
playlist.
did. I did. I haven't had a chance to listen to it yet because I was doing prep for Sights and Sounds,
Oh,
my
okay.
other show, and I was listening to a lot of
Yeah, but.
30s and 40s jazz and blues music and some Les Paul 1950s music for that show.
Oh, cool. Cool. All right, let's go over the track listing then. We got track one, Straight for the Sun. And I think that's like the short. No, it's not the. Yeah, it is the shortest song on the album.
Barbosa is the instrumental. It's like number seven. It's shorter, but
Yeah.
Straight for the Sun, though, it starts off with that. You hear Randy take this deep breath and like the scream that just starts the album off, that it's, you just know you're in for it at that point.
That typical Randy growl.
Yes. And it is, it's just like I said, if you're a fan, then you just know you're in for a fun 40 minutes. If you're not a fan, then you're like, oh shit, what's about to happen? But then you get the actual instruments come in with, my note said chug 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 boom boom, because that's what it's what it is. It's just like you're just like a train engine just starting. You know what I mean? You remember how trains, old school steam engines, ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch. And then once they finally got up to speed, and that's when you get smacked in the face with Desolation coming in next. So, but this is the perfect start of this album. It really is the epitome. You get Randy's scream, you get the chug chug of the instruments coming in. It's just, I don't know, I totally dig. A lot of times I'm a skipper when it comes to the first song on an album, but this one I don't. This is as good as some of the other songs on the album. So
All right, and you already mentioned track two, Desolation. What's
yes,
your thoughts on that song?
this is peak Lamb of God. Okay, this is the sound that you imagine when you hear Redneck, or you hear Ruin, or Walk With Me in Hell. All these older songs, anything from the Killadelphia album, things like that, where As Palaces Burn. This is Lamb of God. And they're coming out and they're putting the statement right there, right in the front on the technically the first actual track on the album, because the first one is really just a intro. And this just, it speaks to it. Randy's voice is on point in this song. If you listen to any song and you want to hear the what Randy's voice can do as far as his gutturals and his growls and his screams, listen to this song, because it will tell you what he does.
All right, next we got Ghost Walking, and that was released as a single off the album. The video for this was really fucking cool.
Yes. Yeah.
Animated and shit. Yeah. I just watched
And
that earlier.
oh, did you? Was that the first time you've seen it?
No, I'd seen it back. Remember when MTV brought back the Headbangers Ball? They played it on there,
Okay.
not on
Yeah.
there, so.
Yeah, this is a cool video. But it's a cool song too, because it starts with an acoustic intro, and then
Very
it
country sounding.
yeah, it's, don't say that, because I'm notorious on my show for hating country. But the acoustic intro,
More of a bluegrass sound.
yes, it's more of an older sound acoustic. There you go. That's better. Don't say country. But what happens though is it bleeds into the electric start, and then it goes into this really, really fun riff throughout the whole song. Ghost Walking is kind of one of those songs. I hear a lot of people say you can't dance to heavy metal. You can dance to Ghost Walking. And
I can see
if you can't,
that,
I'd say I show you, but no one wants to fucking see that. So just trust me when I say you can dance to this song, okay? It's really good.
all right, track four, we got Guilty. Thoughts?
This Well, yeah, I have thoughts on all of
Okay. Well,
them,
good.
Brown. That's Guilty though, it's a good mix of, like we were talking about earlier, when you start to get into the other subgenres of heavy metal. This one has a good mix of groove metal to it, but it has a really brutal start. So you have to get through that brutal start to get to the groove metal portion, but the cool thing of, like we said, Lamb of God has their own sound. So you're half expecting it to change subgenres in the song. And not in a way that slaps you in the face, but in a way that makes sense.
Very subtle, too.
Yeah. It's just really cool the way they can progress through the chambers, and of, I say chambers, but when you think of like the halls, like if you think of the old style music halls and how the music would like kind of cascade through the music hall and reverberate. That's the way their song makeups go. They kind of walk through these changes in that process, and it's just so cool. I just totally dig it. Still do.
All right, track five, we got the undertow. That's sort of like a bluesy sound and
So you kind of hit the nail on the head there, because with a lot of blues, what do they use a lot of? They use a lot of scales, right? So there a lot of bouncing up and down the guitar neck, right? And I definitely think you have Morton doing that a lot in this song. The use of scales in this song is kind of pivotal to the whole theme of this track. And I haven't mentioned Chris Adler at all yet, and it's a shame because he's probably one of the best things on this album. The drums are absolutely killer, but because his drums are always killer, you kind of forget that it's Chris Adler playing the drums, because it's always so good. But I know he's no longer with the band, which is always sad when I go to see
yeah,
them live and I don't see
he
Chris.
played for your favorite band
Wait.
after he left Lamb of God.
Yeah, did he go to Megadeth? I think he did, didn't he?
Yes, he did. He was with them for
Yeah.
like 3 years, three,
Yeah.
4 years.
And listeners may not know, but
I thought I'd bust your balls about that.
I like Megadeth's music. I just don't like Dave. I'm sorry, listeners.
All right, track six, the number six.
666?
Six,
Oh
six, six.
no. That's something different. Sorry. What did I have for this one? Sometimes my notes are funny. My note on this one is the chorus is powerful as fuck.
I can see that, yeah.
Yeah, this one, it's the song. It's not that the song isn't memorable, it's just that the chorus is my favorite part probably of the song. It's got a, I don't know if you want to say catchy, but it's kind of like a catchy chorus. So it's just, yeah, I mean, I like this jam. What do you think about
It's
this one?
a little faster. It's faster than a couple of the other songs for sure.
This one's a little bit more thrashy
Yep.
kind of thing. If
Yep.
you're into the harder Slayer-esque thrash metal, definitely dig this
Exactly.
one.
Exactly. All right, track seven, Barbarossa, which is an instrumental. And I think that's they wrote that about the studio they were recording at because it was the same name.
Yeah, I mean, if you think about the location of the song on the album, and you think
In the
about back
middle.
in the yeah, you think about back in the day when you had to have an intermission to go out and get your drinks and collect your thoughts before you went back in. That's what this track is. This track is calm, it's cool, it's collected, it's refreshing, because it still has a sound that you know is hard, but it's not hard. You know what I mean? So you don't get slapped in the face the entire time, and you get a chance to catch your breath, which sometimes in an album, if you get a chance to catch your breath, it's not always a good thing. You know, I've covered a lot of albums on Monsters the Mosh Pit where they give you this interlude album, interlude track, and this intermission track, and the rest of the album is not that great, and then you're left with this feeling of how good the front half was. And you're kind of upset that the back half doesn't follow it. I'm not saying that's the same thing with this album, although it is in a way. But it's a good, refreshing restart to get back into track eight.
All right. Track eight, Invictus. What's your thoughts on that, Greg?
So this is back to it. This is right back to being slammed in the face.
Yep.
It starts off with a straight up kick in the nuts, and it continues from there on this track. This track is brutal. This track is fun. This track pops a little bit. Great drums from Adler in this one. This one probably has a highlight of the drums for me. If you look at a technical speaking, yeah. So definitely kick you back in the nuts to get you back started.
Yeah, it was a good starter after the instrumental for sure. All right, track nine, Cheated. This one got a little more bluesy too, a little bit. They got a lot of that in their music for sure.
Well, you got to think of the influences, especially when it comes to, people like Mark Morton and Randy, which they do a lot of the lyrical writing and stuff for their albums, but they're all influenced. And that's the cool thing about modern bands. We have so much music to call back to and listen to get these influences from. I literally just recorded, it's not even out yet. The show will be coming out this probably right before this one drops or right after. And on Sights and Sounds, what we were talking about, the blues and the first electric solo cover or ever recorded and stuff like that. This, there's so much to draw from, is my main point. But this song is punishing still, even though it has that bluesy vibe to it. Have you ever heard their covers album that they did under the Burn the Priest name?
I think so. I think I
Okay.
have.
If you haven't, check it out because they do some great covers. They do Jesus Built My Hot Rod and all that kind of stuff. Really, really cool. This song sounds a lot like Burn the Priest. So you get a little bit more of the I don't know if you can say harder because Lamb of God goes pretty hard, but it definitely has a little bit more of a hardcore feel, I guess. Not in the sense of like New York hardcore music, but like hardcore when you think of the verbiage, of today's society.
Exactly. Well, they got a lot of influences from up there because that's fairly close. And I'm sure they would travel up north to see like them New York hardcore bands and stuff play back in the day, you know?
Bro, I am a New York hardcore freak. I absolutely love New York hardcore music. It's one of my favorites. My favorite band of all time is a Buffalo hardcore act, Every Time I Die. So, yeah, I'm a big hardcore fan.
All right, track 10, Insurrection. And this is probably my favorite song on the whole album.
I can get that. This is a softer track. It's not as brutal as the rest of them, but that doesn't make it any less catchy. And it doesn't make you want to move any less because it's softer.
And they did two versions of this song too. There's
See, I
one
don't
that's like
know that.
That's like 30 seconds longer than the original version.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I'm gonna it's basically the same. It's at the longer version is actually a little harder, actually, so
Okay. I'll have to look that up because that's one thing I'm not familiar
it's
with.
which one did it
I do love this song. This is the one I catch myself. This and Ghost Walking are the two I catch myself singing at the time.
All right, track 11. We got Terminally Unique.
Yeah, unfortunately, this one's terminally mid, as the kids would say right now.
Filler.
Yeah, this may be like a track 14 type scenario where they're like, you need one more to fill out the album. I hate to say that because I love albums that don't have any tracks where I'm like, eh. But this one is, it's a good sound. Like I said, the mixing is really good, the mastering is really good. Technically speaking, it's a good track. It's just not memorable. And there may be someone that thinks this is their favorite song on. They'd be wrong, but I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding.
All right, track 12 to the end.
This is old school to
Yep.
me. This sounds old school. It's got old school riffs. It's got great thrash. It's got some chug 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 to it.
Yep,
This
like
is,
it could have been a carryover from one of the previous albums for
yeah.
sure.
Yeah, this is like as the palaces burns, and yeah,
Yep, exactly.
this is cool. This is an old school Lamb God song. Doesn't pull any punches. It's good.
All right, track 13, Visitation. And to me, that's like another filler.
The redeeming quality on this song is Adler's drums. His drums on this song are spectacular. But yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. This is another one where You may have placed this a little higher in the chronological order
Yeah, yeah.
of the album, and it may have hit a little different. Maybe you switched this one out with like six or something like that, and it might have felt a little bit better, especially with Adler's drums in it. But it's still a good track. It's kind of meh.
And rounding off the original version of the album, we got track 14, which is King Me, and that is probably my second favorite song on the album.
This is the one where I catch myself with the chorus a lot on this, but I was built for this. It gives me that Hatebreed feel a
A
little
little
bit.
bit, yeah. It's
But
very dark for sure.
yeah, it's I just I he says, but I was built for this a lot during the song. And it's I catch like I said, I catch myself with running the beats in my head and just saying that over and over again. This is this would be a fun stadium song, and I've never heard them play it live, but this would be a fun song to see live, because I think this would be like, you know, be a crowd mover, and it gets the crowd interaction back, because it's something that's very quotable. Which obviously, when I listen to an album, I listen for things like that, like things that can be repeated, things that are crowd, you know, crowd pleasers and stuff like that. Although, you know, often most of the time I listen to music, you know, by myself, but there's always that element of what would this be like if I was with 10,000 screaming people or 600 screaming people
Exactly,
in a
yeah.
small venue, you know what I mean? So.
Exactly. All right, then there was a Japanese edition where they had a bonus track on there, which would make that track 15, Bury Me Under the Sun. And I looked for this song and I couldn't find it.
I think, let me see. I may have it on a different album.
And then
I don't know.
iTunes put out two bonus tracks over iTunes, track 16, Digital Sands, and a version of Vigil Live for track 17.
Yes. And that's the version that I listen to. That's a really, really, really good version. Digital Sands is a fun song.
Yeah.
I don't know what version you listen to,
I
but
listened to the Apple version, the iTunes Apple.
yeah. And the cool thing about the iTunes version is it has the interactive cover art.
Yep,
So
yep.
what like you get the cover art on this album is basically a desert. And it's cool because you get like the desert moving and like the wind whipping through it.
It's
It's
like a
really, really
with like an explosion going off in the background.
yeah, it's a lot
Is
of fun.
that supposed to be a bomb going off, you think? Or just a
What with it being called Resolution, I wouldn't doubt the fact that it could be. But I'm not sure.
And then the UK limited edition pre-order bonus album came with a live version of the Wrath Tour.
Yeah.
So that would be cool. I think they maybe even came out with a DVD of that too, didn't they? That on DVD?
No, they do have a tour DVD for Philadelphia,
Okay.
which is awesome. And they also have an album for Philadelphia as well,
Yeah.
which I thought I had that Bury Me Under the Sun in a one of those extra albums, but I don't see it. It might be on my actual record because I have a couple records that I've got too.
Yeah, that's a good live album for sure.
Oh, the Philadelphia live album is dope, and they've recently like taken most of those songs off of iTunes, so you can only have that if you have like a CD or a Spotify may have the whole album. I'm not sure if you have like Spotify Premium that you pay for or whatever, but I pay for Apple, so I don't
Yeah,
pay
I
for
got Apple
Spotify.
too, so yeah. They're always doing that stuff. They're always dropping stuff.
Yeah, it's kind of frustrating, but at the same time, I get it.
But
You
if you put
know,
your if you got the CD and put it on there, it won't go off of there.
that's and you know, I'm a big proponent of physical media collections.
So is Carl. He's got shit. I think he said he's got 25,000 songs on his fucking Apple or some shit.
Yeah, see, I just that's the cool thing about Apple is I click on it and I have it, but I also have tubs and tubs of CDs in my other room over there. I still collect VHS tapes. You know what I mean? Because I'll always have that. It's just my thing. I go out and buy VHS tapes every week because, there's no better way to watch A Nightmare on Elm Street than clicking it in your VCR and watching it. But
I
that's the
see
only
I
member I
see
have where
VH
I.
I go to the Goodwill all the time. They always got VHS tapes there.
That's one of my favorite spots to go to is Goodwill, believe it or not, for
Yep.
VHS tapes. Yeah, I've gotten a lot of my collection from my recent purchases from Goodwill. But I also know a guy that owned three Blockbusters,
Oh.
so I also go to him every week and usually spend, 20 to 30 bucks on VHS tapes. My wife gets so mad because I'll come home with a bag and she'll just know that it's VHS tapes
Come on with a garbage sack full for 20 bucks.
that. No, he's a little bit smarter because he actually, he ran the business, so he knows a little bit more about what prices should be. So I can't unfortunately go there and get, The Exorcist for a dollar. I have to pay, $20 for that
Oh.
one. Yeah, it happens. But you know what? I have a really minty Exorcist. Like, it is in the clamshell, beautiful print. Like, it's, you would think it was only 2 years old and not, 32.
Really? That's awesome. So did you get to see him on this tour?
The last time I saw Lamb of God was with Slayer in 2019, I think. I think that's the last time I saw him. Yes, it was Cannibal Corpse, Amon Amarth, Lamb of God, and Slayer was the show that I saw them
That would have been
last.
a badass show.
It was, I'll tell you what, my neck hurt afterwards,
I
and
bet.
about every other part of my body because we were on the fence for that show. Like, we literally were at center stage on the rail, and it was had a pretty decent sized arena here in West Virginia, in Huntington, West Virginia, and it was an intense show. And all four bands are up there in probably my top 20 bands of all time. Lamb of God being in my top five, Slayer being in my top 10, Amon Amarth being in my top 10. It was pretty fucking amazing, I gotta tell you.
But last time I seen him was at Ozfest 2007.
Oh my goodness, you are missing out.
The free Ozfest. Remember the free Ozfest?
So, Ozfest, I unfortunately never got to go to.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I have a signed poster from the band Unearth from Ozfest that my brother got me because he went to Ozfest without me. And that was his, he called me on his cell phone. This was, obviously back. Let me see if that has a date on it. 2006, Ozfest 2006. So he calls me on his cell phone, which was back in the day when, we had those Nokia cell phones that were like bricks. And he's like, listen to this. And it was Unearth playing. And then he went and told the guys at Unearth that I couldn't be at the show. And they all signed a poster to me. And Buzz McGrath even drew got he drew a fishing pole and a fish hanging from his hand because I went fishing with my family instead. And so, it's pretty cool, but like, I would have much rather have gone and saw Ozfest, but it was really good.
That's awesome. Yeah, I seen a lot of good bands that year. They had a lot of good. They actually played the main stage. I think they opened up the main stage that year,
Oh, really?
and it was at the up in Chicago at the what the heck's the name of the place? It used to be called the New World Music Theater. I don't know what they call it now, but it's
I
one of
know
them.
Cleveland venues.
It's one of them where they got the big lawn in the back on the berm.
Yeah, pavilion.
Yeah, pavilion type thing. And
Yeah.
everybody was ripping the grass and sod off the hill and throwing it at the Lamb
That's
of God.
awesome. I saw Slayer at a
There's
pavilion.
videos on YouTube of it, and it's called Sod Fest.
Sod's Fest, that'd be awesome. Yeah, I saw Slayer at the Pavilion in Pennsylvania, and it was the same farewell tour for Slayer, except for there was a couple different bands. Lamb of God was still on it, but Behemoth and Anthrax were the opener
Oh, okay.
on that one, and that was a cool show. I'm actually wearing a Behemoth hat right now that I bought at that show, believe it or not. Yeah, that was a killer show too.
But yeah, it seems like they played for this tour. They played a lot of festivals.
Oh, I'm sure. 2007, that was also the year Every Time I Die opened the second stage on Ozzfest at like 9:30 in the morning.
Yeah, I seen a lot. Yeah, we hadn't got there yet. We didn't get there till like 11. The first band I seen was oh, what's the chick that dresses up like a baby doll?
In This Moment.
In This Moment. They're the
Yeah.
first one I seen. Then right after them was Devil Driver.
Oh
And
yeah.
who else was there? I think Behemoth was there. They're a tripping concert, boy. Even
Oh yeah.
though it was during the day, and rounding off the second stage was Hatebreed.
Oh yeah. Yeah, that's Hatebreed's fun to see. I like watching Hatebreed. I always am thinking. I always liken Hatebreed and Suicidal Tendencies together. I know they sound totally different, but their energy on stage is very similar.
Yep.
So that's two
That
totally different bands, but very
cro
similar.
that's it's that East West Coast thing.
Oh man, I tell you what, they're
It's still
crazy.
crossover thrash, but you got your East Coast version and your West Coast version.
Yeah. Well, that's one of the,
I love ST, man. They're one of my favorite bands of all time.
I would love to dive in and do like the history on Sights and Sounds of like West Coast hardcore, because it's probably not talked about as much in popular culture as New York hardcore or East Coast hardcore is West Coast hardcore. So I would love to actually dive into that and just talk about it, because, well, it's my show and I can do whatever I want. So.
Well, the same thing with just the regular East Coast punk versus West Coast punk.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. Well, there's so many different things you can get into. I mean, you can get into Tampa Bay death metal. You know what I mean?
Yep.
You can get into, Bay Area thrash. You can get into the northwest folksy metal that came out of the northwest during that time. So
Yep.
there's so many different things you can get into that's just worth talking about.
Exactly. All right. Well, what's your final thoughts on this album there, Greg?
On my show we give albums scores out of 10, and this would be a 9 out of 10 for me. It's up there as one of my favorite Lamb of God albums. The only thing that lags it down are the couple tracks on the back end. It's not quite like a Quiet Riot album, like Metal Health, which had like two really really banger songs up front, and then the rest of it kind of fizzled out for me. But it is definitely, that's still, even with that being that way, I think I still gave Quiet Riot Metal Health like a 7. You know what I mean? So this is definitely up there as one of the upper echelons of Lamb of God. And I'll stand by that. I'll fight anyone that says it's not. I won't, but I'll say it.
Okay. Well, I hadn't heard this album in probably a long time. And I listened to it actually three times between yesterday and today when I was working on The Haunt. I listened to it, and I didn't know many of these songs on here, to tell you the truth.
Oh man.
This album was probably not very close on my radar back in the day when it came out. But I do like this album. I very much enjoyed it, listened to it. I always do that. I have to listen to something two or three times, you know. And
If I'm reviewing an album, like especially like for the show, I usually listen to it 3 times, and I'll listen
same
to it the
here.
The first time is kind of just listening to it. Like I pay attention, but I'm not like going super in depth. The second time I'm really focusing on the music, and listening for like different music cues, like scale work, or listening for blast beats and so on and so forth.
Breakdowns, all that kind of good stuff.
Yeah. And then especially the bridge work. I like to hear the bridge work on the second time I listen. And then the third time is all about the vocals. And I go through and I listen to the lyrics and the vocals and see what I can pick up out of that and see what I'm kind of digging in and diving for stuff like that. So I feel it's definitely a three time listen to get a full respect of an album.
I feel you for sure. For sure. But yeah, I'm gonna give this 4 out of 5 on our scale.
Yeah, that'd be like an 8 out of 10 for me on my scale. So
For sure.
I'm
I don't.
down.
I actually like their older stuff a little bit better, and their newer stuff, even that they got compared to this, I like it a little better. But I do like this album. It's definitely true Lamb of God for sure.
You like the post Randy in prison stuff? Like
Oh yeah.
room, what is it, room 513 or whatever.
Yep.
One of the
Yep.
songs.
I reviewed one of their newer albums on the podcast for Midweek.
They're definitely a band that I can listen to every album and not feel bad that I listen to it.
But I think they probably could have did a little better on this album, maybe on a couple of songs for sure.
That
Because they had, they were going through a lot of shit when they were working on this album, with all the shit with Randy and all that, they were dealing with all that.
Yeah, it definitely
But they made it work, and it's a very good album.
that's what I think that's what I respect about it is this is their seventh studio album. It's really, really good. It has songs that are mediocre in, if you put it up against their other catalog, but they're
Exactly.
still good songs,
Exactly.
and it doesn't detract from the fact that they're still great musicians. All it does is say that the rest of their music is so great that when you make a good song, it doesn't compare to the great songs. You know what I mean? Walk With Me in Hell will always just be that song. You know what I mean?
Yep.
There's
L
just you're
love
not
that
gonna
song.
you're just not gonna be able to take that away from them because it's their song and it's just one of the best ever made. So it's hard. Omen, you can think about songs like Omen, Omuerta, Ruin. Redneck, so many good songs. I can keep going.
Redneck video's fucking epic too, man.
Oh, that's one of my favorite. That's
Remember
one of my favorite videos of all time. It's not even like my favorite just heavy metal video. That's one of the best videos
when
of all
that first
time.
came out, my daughters were like, "You'd probably do that shit to us at a birthday party, wouldn't
Absolutely.
you?" So were you all on board for the free Randy and all that?
I respected the fact that he said, you know what? I'm going to go over there. I'm going to serve time and I'm going to fight this the way that it should be fought. I'm not going to bitch about it. I'm not going to complain. So I was on board with him for the fact that he stood up like a man
Yep.
and went and took care of business. I did read his book. I think I told you earlier, it's called, I think, A Dark Days, a memoir or something like that. And it really goes into detail. Like it goes into detail about his daily activities in jail and
Yeah, it's
like the
not
people that
fun,
he
man.
the people that he met, what it was like trying to go to the showers. He literally goes into everything, learning how to
Food.
play, yeah, the food, playing chess, hiding cigarettes in your waistband when you go out to the yard. He literally covers all that. And then the last like chapter and a half is the court hearing. Like I thought it would be about the whole thing, like the court hearing. But the court hearing wasn't even that long, but he was in jail for like 120 some days.
Yeah.
Like
Yeah.
he was in jail for I think three and a
Well,
half,
plus
four
just being
months.
in a different country, you don't really know the language and you got that barrier.
Well, and that was his fear as well as everyone else's fear here in the US. They didn't know if they were going to actually give him a trial or they were just going to keep him in jail
Yep, they very,
because
very well
it's.
could have.
Yeah, it was a foreign country that they could have just kept him there. And they kept saying, hey, your trial's been delayed, your trial's been delayed, and just kept him there forever. But luckily they didn't. And it wasn't because he was a rock star.
Nope. Oh,
But
he got
what happened
treated just
was,
like everybody else.
it was just a bad set of circumstances that happened. And that's, to this day, I end my show the same way on Monsters in the Mosh Pit. And I say, if someone falls down the pit, what do? You pick them the fuck up.
Exactly.
Because that's the rule at every show. It doesn't matter what heavy metal show you're at. If someone falls down, you pick them up.
That was a little different circumstances, though. That guy was all drunk. And
I mean, what happened? He fell off the stage and hit his head. It was a terrible accident. Even if he was drunk, he was still at a show. You know,
exactly.
things happen. Accidents happen. But what they cited Randy for was earlier on in the show, someone else had got on stage, and Randy didn't have his glasses on, and that pisses him off anyway because he doesn't perform with his glasses on, so he can't see. So he's on stage, and this drunk guy's on stage hooting and hollering, and basically
And security wouldn't do
knocked,
nothing.
yeah, and basically knocked Randy over. So Randy tackled him and like sang the song a la Maynard James Keenan from Tool, when he basically sang that whole song, like 7 minute Tool song, in that guy's face. Randy did the same thing, and that's what the prosecutors were saying. Like, he had already, like, saying that Randy had already attacked, you know, somebody on the show on the, during that same show, and like they said that Randy pushed this guy, you know, that passed away, pushed him off the stage, which doesn't happen. There was actually video evidence that ended up saving, you know, most of the case, because they you could see the
Exactly.
guy jump off. He
Yeah.
basically jumps slash stumbles off the stage and, you know, bangs his head.
He knew he fucked up getting up there, and then he was getting back down is what it looked like to me when I seen that video.
See, and it's hard for me because I love hardcore shows, and hardcore shows are all about stage diving. Like,
Yep.
you're literally, you could have 20 people on stage at one point jumping around with the band, and, you know, the band members will kick them in the ass until they jump off the stage. That's just part of the, you know, the stage show at a hardcore show. So you just get used to it after a while. So it was really hard for me to hear that this had happened, and that things like this are real, and that does happen, because it obviously had never happened at one. I've seen people break their nose. I've seen people, you know, lose teeth in the mosh
Oh, me
pit.
too, man.
But no one's ever been hurt seriously. I think the most serious one I saw was a dude who had a broken wrist, and he came out and his wrist was flopping, kind of like, you know, kind of like one of these.
Yeah.
But you know what? You're in the pit. It happens. No one died though.
Yep. Just all kinds of different elements happened, that night,
Oh yeah, it was, you know, you always hear the worst case scenario sometimes just happens.
Exactly. All right. Well, I guess that's all we got for Lamb of God. Thanks for coming on, brother, and covering for Carl.
Anytime you guys need me, man, I am right around the corner. You know, just like, you know, 15 hours away. I'm right around the corner.
Oh, shit. But tell everybody where they can find you, brother.
Oh fuck. You can find my shows, Monsters and the Mosh Pit. We're on all the podcatchers. We have a closed Facebook group that you can ask to be part of, if you want to join that. We have a lot of community engagement in there. We talk basically about horror and heavy metal all the time. The show itself is, we cover one horror movie and one heavy metal album in detail. It's a long format show. Usually the shows run about 3 to 3.5 hours. Which we break up in between, so you guys can take a break from us and not listen to me all fucking day. And then I also have on that show a section called the Sanguine Record, where I do interviews with content creators like directors, actors, heavy metal musicians, different things like that.
Yeah, speaking of that, I'm about halfway through your interview with Robert Kurtzman and his wife or whatever she is. Man,
Oh yeah, Robert and Marcy.
that's a good show, man.
Well, thank you.
I'm liking that. Yeah, that's he seemed they seem like really cool people, man.
They are. Robert Kurtzman's been one of my idols since growing up. He's been in the industry as long as I've been watching horror movies, and he's done some of my favorites, like Evil Dead 2 and so on. So it was really, really cool to sit down and have the more than gracious amount of time that, you know, somebody of that stature would ever give someone like me. So that was really cool. So thank you for listening.
Yeah, I'm halfway through. I was listening to it before we got on tonight, and I had to pause it. I'm about 50 minutes in, so I'm about halfway through. So, but
Yeah,
yeah.
that's great. And then my other show is Sights and Sounds. So it's Sights, the letter N, and then Sounds. And that's a history of horror and heavy metal. With my co-host Raul from Headlong and the Monsters is his podcast. And you know, we get on there and we talk literally about the history. There's only one show out right now, which is just an introduction to the show and an introduction to the hosts. And the second show will be out this week.
Yeah, we
So.
might have to do a collaboration on that too, because I wanted to do something along the lines of that too. So,
Yeah, I think you and I have even talked in detail about
yep.
some other things that you and I would love to do. So yeah, absolutely.
Which
But
may still happen, man. So.
dude, that's one of my dreams is that, you know, do that part of it. That's obviously you're hearing me interview people like Robert Kurtzman, the Addams Family, Ryan Postlewaite from Byzantine, all these folks like that. It's just my favorite thing to do. I just love talking to people and hearing their stories. And it doesn't even have to be about heavy metal or horror. I just want to hear what those creators, those people that we look up to, that we watch and we listen to, what they do, what they want to talk about. Because I guarantee you they have the same cookie cutter answers every fucking week when they do these interviews. I don't want that. I want to hear what they want to hear. I loved hearing about how John Adams liked to go to punk shows when he was a kid. You know, that was the coolest thing. He makes horror movies. I didn't know he was a punk back in the 80s. That's fucking awesome.
That is.
Know what I
Yep.
mean? So.
All right. Well, that's it for this week, guys. Thanks for watching and listening, and check us out on the YouTube and all the social medias. We're not hard to find, so just basically search the Evil Never Dies podcast, and we're bound to come up somewhere. So that's all we got. Thanks again, Greg, for coming on, and everybody stay evil.
One, two, three.
Just along the way, there's no one.
myself, there wasn't much left. The script's last page is blank, and the medicine is gone.